At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
What if I told you that there is a place on this earth where four fallen angels have been bound for a very specific time period in history, according to the Bible? And when it comes to these four angels, they are to be released only for a specific mission of destruction. What if I told you that there is a specific location on this earth that was there at the beginning of the world, and it will also play a role in the end of the world? What if I told you that there is a place on this earth that is a symbol of God's judgment and is associated with the battle of Armageddon? Well, the place that I'm talking about is the Euphrates River. The Euphrates River is mentioned in the first book of the Bible and also in the last book of the Bible. And if you understand Bible prophecy, you will know why this river is so important. In Genesis chapter 2, the Euphrates River is highlighted as one of the rivers that flowed out of the Garden of Eden. And then, in the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the Word of God reveals that there is something sinister being held at the bottom of the Euphrates River, and it will set the stage for Armageddon. The Euphrates River has been an essential landmark for biblical history. Consider the story of the Tower of Babel. Historians believe that the city of Babylon was located about 50 miles south of Baghdad along the Euphrates River. And at a time when all mankind spoke a single language, they said to each other, then they said, "Come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world." But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. "Look," he said, "the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other." In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world, and they stopped building the city. But what about the future? What does the future hold for the Euphrates River? Well, in the book of Revelation on the sixth trumpet judgment of God, the Bible in Revelation chapter 9 tells us that a solitary voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which stand before God, told an angel of God to release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. You have to understand that these four satanic angels are like nothing this world has ever seen. Imagine just how bad these evil angels are for God to have to bound them at the bottom of the Euphrates River. The sole purpose of these fallen angels is to slay a third of Earth's population. Some Bible commentators speculate that these angels might have been high-ranking angels who were cast out of heaven with Lucifer. The Bible tells us that when Lucifer was cast out of heaven, a third of the angels fell with him. we aren't given the details about what type of angels were thrown from heaven, but some scholars speculate that there may have been other high-ranking principal angels included. And this argument comes from the fact that these four angels were so powerful that God decided to keep them bound until the tribulation period. And when they are released, they lead an army of 200 million horsemen. Now, what we don't know is that when they lead an army of 200 million horsemen, are these real horses with real riders? Is this symbolic of a supernatural demonic army, or is this a modern army? Some Christian commentators offer further arguments that suggest these four angels at the bottom of the Euphrates are high-ranking fallen angels because of what we're told in Ephesians 6, verse 12. The Bible reads, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." From this description, here's what we can interpret. The devil has a kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. In this kingdom, there is a structure. There are descending orders of authority, which is principalities or principal spirits. There are evil rulers of darkness and then spiritual hosts of wickedness, meaning evil spirits. Now, some may say, well, this is all just interpretation. The Bible doesn't clearly go into this. Well, if you go back in time and go to the Old Testament, there was a time when Daniel was seeking the face of God in prayer because he wanted a revelation from God about the future. After 3 weeks of intense prayer and fasting, an angel from God appeared to Daniel. And here's what the angel said. Here's where we get a strong clue about evil principal spirits. Daniel 10, verse 12 and 13 says, "Then he said, 'Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for—'"
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Understanding and to humble yourself before your God. Your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. So from the very first day that Daniel started praying, God sent an angel to provide him with an answer. But the angel was delayed for 3 weeks, and it was not delayed by a demon. It wasn't delayed by an evil spirit. God's angel was delayed by a principality, a chief principal evil spirit, which was so strong that Michael, the archangel of God, came to help and fight this principality. So you see, it's a valid interpretation to view the angels that are bound at the bottom of the Euphrates as high-ranking, principal angels who were perhaps angels of war or aggressively evil when they rebelled alongside Lucifer in heaven. We don't know. But whatever the case may be, the Bible does not give us further information about these angels, apart from the fact that when they are released, they have the power to kill a third of mankind. Now, One of the key events leading up to Armageddon is the drying up of the Euphrates. When this river dries up, it provides a path for a great army from the east to cross the Euphrates easily as they make their way to the Valley of Armageddon. Now, Armageddon can only be described as the war of all wars. The Antichrist will gather all of the people under his evil influence. These people, who are loyal to the Antichrist, will form their armies to wage war against the people of God. In this battle, Revelation 19 tells us things like, "Then I saw heaven open, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war." The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army." You see, Jesus Christ will lead a heavenly army to victory over God's enemies. These enemies include those who oppose God's authority and who treat God with contempt.
A room full of Christian students were asked the question, "How many of you believe in signs and wonders?" Someone quickly said, "It depends on who they're from, the devil or Jesus." The professor responded and said, regardless of who they're from, "How many of you believe that signs and wonder can happen?" All the hands went straight up. He then asked, "So you believe that Jesus Christ can perform signs and wonders?" The class was in agreement. "Yes, he can." Then the professor asked, "Do you believe that the devil can perform signs and wonders?" Students hesitantly answered. With no real conviction about the answer to this question, most students put their hands up. Then the professor said boldly, "Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect."
2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 to 15 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Satan can transform into an angel of light so that he can trick and deceive.
You see, many people believe that only Jesus can perform great signs and wonders. However, this is true of the devil as well. The Bible says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." And if you don't have the knowledge that's in the Bible, the knowledge that reveals how the devil is capable of performing great signs and wonders, then how will you distinguish the work of God and the work of Satan? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, "The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved." Now hear that carefully. With all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception. Saints of God, there is a great evil among us. This evil is called deception. It's designed by the enemy in an attempt to trick us, to fool us into believing evil for good. So the task at hand for all believers is, how do we distinguish the divine from the diabolical? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 3 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So you see, if you are to ever see great signs and wonders, test the spirits. You may be wondering, well, how exactly do I test the spirits? What do I do? Well, the passage of Scripture we've just read said in verse 2 and 3, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. If that spirit acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in the flesh here on earth, died and rose again, and is now seated at the right hand of God, then that spirit is from God. However, if that spirit says anything else but Jesus, the Bible says this is the spirit of the Antichrist. So the next time you see a preacher, a prophet, or anyone performing anything in the supernatural, before you clap, before you accept it, before you say anything, pray for the Holy Ghost to give you discernment, and then wait. Wait to see if that act was glorifying Jesus Christ as Lord. Before you clap, test the Spirit to see whether it confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. Test whether or not that miracle, that healing, that act or wonder, is it really to the glory of God, or is it to exalt that person? Is God being given the glory and honor, or is the man or woman on stage saying, look at me, I can do this all day long? We need to test the spirits. I believe that the majority of the devil's signs and wonders boil down to four major objectives: money, fame, pleasure, and power. The devil will perform signs and wonders through people which are driven by one of these objectives. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 to 6 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So understand, there are two spirits in operation: the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of error is in the world. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. And the Bible clearly says that they speak from the world and the world listens to them. However, you and I are not of the world. As children of God, the Bible tells us that we have overcome them because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So test the spirits. Before you allow someone to stand before you as a man or woman of God, pray for sensitivity. Pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you in truth so that you may not be led astray. There are people of God out there, people who are being mightily used by the Lord in various ways. However, there's also those sent by the devil to create confusion, to create an illusion of truth when it's really deception. So I encourage you, we must be a people who are joined with the spirit of truth. We must be a people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. We must be a people who test the spirits. We must be a people who are governed by the truth that is Jesus Christ.
Although we live in this world, we do not, and we should not, fight our battles like the world. In fact, the weapons that we have available to us aren't physical weapons. But note how the Bible says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. The Word of God is one of the weapons that we have as children of God. It's a weapon that is powerful. The conflicts you face, the battles you face, the Lord has the final say over all of that. So I encourage you, people of God, to trust God. Trust in the word of the Lord. Trust in His promises, and you will have the victory.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.